Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. Join us each week as we delve into some of life's most complex questions. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at hazyradio.com. Welcome. So before we do our witty banter that we do at the start of the show, Karen, if that's okay.
So witty.
We have got a, the only way I could put it is a ginormous show for our listeners tonight, for our very lucky listeners.
It's like one of those, you know, but wait, there's more, or like,
exactly.
I think you should announce it in like the monster truck voice.
Sunday.
Coming at you this Thursday, we have Scott Grunewald of the West Coast Reporter of Paranormal Paparazzi. We also have Chad Lindbergh, actor. He's actually done quite, I can't keep that up without like a sore throat. So anyways, we got Scott Grunewald, that he's going to be joining us this week. He's the West Coast Reporter for Paranormal Paparazzi. He's also associated with Wolf Manor, which, as everybody knows, is one of the most haunted places here in North America, if not the world. And also joining us as well is going to be Chad Lindbergh. He is an actor, and he's hardest working man in show business, in my opinion. Dude's done quite a bit. But there's more. Of course there's more, because this is Paranormal Underground Radio. It's going to be like a rap concert up in here. You know what I'm saying, guys? We got Scott Grunewald, we got Chad Lindbergh, Ernie Alonzo from Haunted Orange County is going to be joining us possibly tonight, and a fourth mystery guest.
Possibly.
Can't promise it, but if this person joins us, it will definitely make the rap concert-esque type environment. Well, not really, I suppose.
That's right. So
more like metal and industrial rock. So
right. So here's what I want to know. What would you expect to pay for this lineup of guests? Would you expect to pay $19.99? No. $9.99? No. It's not $8.99, $7.99, $6.99, or even 99 cents. It is free right here on Paranormal Underground Radio.
The low, low price of free ghosts and ghouls.
There you go. You're welcome.
You are welcome. So, Karen, I understand that you had a chance to get up to Wellington.
I did. I went up there. Jim and I went not this last weekend, but the one before. And it was lovely. I mean, you know, first visit of the year. I like to be able to go up there with just Jim and I for the first visit of the year.
Sure.
Or even not by myself, because that's not safe. But so because it's really nice to go and to reconnect and everything. And we had the place to ourselves because the main road still has 4 feet of snow across the top of it. So you can't get down the main road. So you have to go down the back little bumpy road that requires four-wheel drive. So we had the place to ourselves. We were there for several hours. And it was just a really, really nice day.
The place to yourself, Karen.
Yeah, and we had a few little things. But we
brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah, not that. No, you know, no, because we don't have the place to ourselves that way.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Wellington, the walls have eyes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've seen a lot of the pictures and stuff reading both of your books, and there's definitely a lot going on up there. It's quite amazing. It makes me want to just hop on a plane and just head on up there.
Yeah, well, and there was lots of signs of wildlife as well. So the wildlife has been rampant up there. Saw lots of kitty cat footprints in the snow shed along the side and all sorts of things like that. So, and then I have one other thing that's terribly exciting. Remember what I did last summer when I took the summer off?
Yes.
From Paranormal Underground? Mm-hmm. Well, that has finally reached its logical culmination, and I now have a licensed teenage driver in my house.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
As of yesterday.
I am not coming up to Washington State.
Well, you know, I was really thrilled, however, because the cost of my insurance is only going up $50 a month.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot more.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, Tanner is a good kid, you know, all accounts.
You don't have to say that with a question mark in your voice. He is a good kid.
That was not a question mark. That was an absolute statement. That was a statement.
He'll be just fine. He got a 96 on his test. So he'll be just fine.
He got a 96 on his test. He did better than I did. And I still remember that from 23 years ago.
Yeah, he's already a better driver than I am.
I believe it.
So, and you had a little, you had a little excitement.
I did. As everybody knows, my home has a few breathing impaired roommates in it, as I like to call them. Got Paul down here in the basement. He likes to listen to the show and for whatever reason likes to watch me
work
out. Yeah, I think he likes, you know, the smell of sweat as I'm, you know, on the bench or whatever.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's a nice guy. He could be a pain in the ass on Thursday nights, but he's a good guy nonetheless. We also have Man on Stairs. He's been heard several times.
Yes, in the Mr. Rogers sweater.
Mm-hmm. In the Mr. Rogers sweater. And about a couple months back, I came downstairs on a Friday morning when I was off on Thursday night, and there's like a dude standing in my behind Theo's chair at the dining room, and he just sort of kind of disappears right
you
before
don't think
my
it was
eyes.
Paul,
was like, no, I don't think it was Paul. Paul's definitely younger. This was an older man.
But it was a man on stairs.
It was a man on stairs because that dude never leaves, which makes me think he's more of a psychic imprint than anything
he
else.
He is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. But okay, so today, Jamie's at the store, and so there's no, you know, women in the house. It was, you know, it was boys' day in. And I'm doing dishes, and Theo's in the front room, and all of a sudden I hear a woman say, "Rick," just like that, but in a woman's voice, of course, in a cute little woman's voice. And it was in the room with me. I mean, I could physically hear my name being called. So I look around. Obviously, there's nobody here. My neighbors, I got one neighbor to the side of me. We don't really, you know, talk that much. But the other people, they're not even home. Jamie's out of the store. There are no women around except for the woman saying my name. So now, because of the incredibly awesome smartasses that we have at Paranormal Underground Team, which is our group, so we can all communicate, I posted it, you know, my experience in there. And I have several people who answered back. And, you know, like I said, they're just smartasses. Chris Davis, telling you you're doing them wrong. I have a living woman to do that. Para Insights, which, of course, is our good friend William Becker. Maybe she was offering to dry. Somehow I doubt that. And Jack Kenna, which is the biggest smartass of them all, when you're Rick, air quotes, when you're done with the dishes, do the laundry, LOL. I was already in the middle of doing that, Jack. So, guys, I don't know. But it was really, it was a very interesting experience. I mean, that's the first time that I've ever actually heard a woman's disembodied voice in the house. Usually it's like these three dudes that hang out here. So,
that's very exciting. And, you know, it's too bad it wasn't another dude because four and you could have had the village people. I'm just saying.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? It's like the entities that are in our home are friendly. Every once in a while, I will find Theo, or we will find Theo talking to somebody who isn't there. They like to mess around with his toys in his playroom. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise, it's like they know we're here, we know they're here, and we pretty much peacefully coexist.
There you go. We recently had a private residence case investigation.
Awesome.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying I got one coming up.
Yeah, and the one of the people who lives in the house is a Reiki practitioner. She's learning Reiki.
Okay.
And so, and they have, like, they'll have bursts of activity and then nothing. And bursts of activity and then nothing. And so what I think is that they get transient energy through the house. And
right.
What I want to find out is if it correlates to when she's practicing the Reiki and that somehow attracts.
See, that's what I was going to think too, because that's a huge, huge energy exchange between people right there. So it wouldn't really come as any surprise.
Yeah, we get lots of transient stuff through my house, and it's because there are two of us here that have psychic abilities, and you know, they like to go where everybody knows their name, I guess.
Exactly.
So
yeah, and you know, they come to your house and a bar in Boston.
Norm.
It's a dog eat dog.
You knew exactly. You knew exactly where I was going with. See, this is why we're good partners, Rick.
That's right. We've never met each other physically, but that doesn't mean that one day we won't. However, we do work very well together.
That's right. So I noticed that in chat we now have Scott Grunewald's biggest fan, and I want to know if that is actually Scott.
It's probably Scott.
That's what I'm figuring, because I, you know, maybe that's what I should do, start going into the chat room as Karen Fraser's fan, because I just have the one.
Yeah, I think I just have like the one too. It's funny. It's like I have the one and it's not my mom, so.
Oh, yeah, mine's not my mom either.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mine is me. That's even sadder.
No, you have the super fans that work where Elaine works, right?
Oh, yeah, there are a few, but now because Elaine was in my second book, uh-huh. And I kind of, you know how I sort of sometimes out people?
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Okay.
And Elaine tells me that somebody at work read that second book, and Elaine really hadn't said anything to anybody there. And she read the first book, and she was all excited about that. And Elaine said, oh, well, you ought to read Karen's second book. Mm-hmm. So she read that and now has made a huge deal.
Oh, so everybody's saying, can you give me a reading, please?
Yeah, I don't know, but she's feeling a little chagrined. Hey, speaking of Elaine, you know, she's been doing the paranormal talks, safety talks, right?
Yes.
So tomorrow, I think it's tomorrow, she's headed up to Seattle and she's speaking at like the Pacific Northwest Medical Conference or something. And nice. She's got like a huge room. She's like their keynote speaker.
Wait a minute, and this is going to be a room full of doctors and science-y type people?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
No. How cool is that?
No, I mean, that is very cool.
What better spokesperson to maybe help some of these science-y people really look, when they look and they see that somebody like Elaine is taking paranormal investigation seriously and looking at it from also a safety standpoint and stuff. I don't know. I think it's only a good thing.
Well, I think it is a good thing, too. And you really will be surprised just how many people in the medical profession, you know, they don't say it publicly because, well, they're going to have their colleagues laugh at them. But I've actually met a few doctors. I had a doctor once ask me, he's like, so what do you do on the side? And I told him, I was like, you know, I host Paranormal Underground Radio and I co-host that. And I, you know, do investigations. And he's like, let me tell you a story. And I'm getting this from a guy that's got like 20 years of higher education that I can't even imagine. And he's telling me about a spirit that he came into contact with as a young child. So, I mean, it's like they're out there. They're out there.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think that we get the disbelievers are so loud as a group.
The negative nasty.
I think that we think that there's more of them than there actually are.
No, I really don't. I'd have to go ahead and agree. But something that the boss lady, the woman with the skills to pay the bills, she says that we need to promo the contest before we go.
Oh, she's such a nag.
I know.
God. Okay, just a sec. Let me get to the contest.
Oh, come on. It's not that hard.
Cheryl, keep the talent
happy. Oh, since
you're
offline, why don't you go ahead and promo it? There you go.
Well, fine then. I will.
It worked, Rick.
Then I won't have to nag anymore. All right. We have a contest this month. Somehow I doubt it too, actually. We have a contest this month. It is our June 2013 contest. And let me get to the right page. All right, here we go. We have a great sponsor this month, if you haven't already heard. That being Jill Marie Morris. And Jill Marie is offering some great prizes for this month's contest. For first prize, she's going to do a personal reading. She's going to give away a $20 Starbucks gift card and give away a signed copy of her book 207, A Personal Account of Love, Paranormal Phenomenon, and Demonic Possession. There'll be a second prize, $10 Starbucks gift card and a signed copy of her book. And then prize winner number 3 gets a signed copy of her book. So please enter. It's easy. You can email editor@paranormalunderground.net with your name, the state in which you live, and then just give us the name of any haunted location that you would like to investigate overnight if you ever had the chance. And let's see.
So if I emailed like Karen Fraser, yes. Intoxication, because that is a state in which I currently live.
Yes.
And I don't know, my house, I could win.
You could. You could in fact win. Except you can't win. But if somebody else like that wrote in, they could win.
Okay.
Also, you have until June 30th, 2013, to email me with your entry. Yay.
Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Cheryl's son, Corey, who graduated from high school last week, and that's why we didn't have a show.
That's right. Congrats. Thank you, guys. So, big, Corey. Big day, both sad and happy.
That's right. So we're excited for Corey, but couldn't he have scheduled it a little better so we could have had a show?
Seriously.
I know, right?
What in the heck? No, I'm sure.
When he graduates college, tell him it better be on a Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. Now that I made us late to break, thanks a lot.
You did. Oh, Cheryl. We were. I was ready to kick over to break when Rick told me that, and you interrupted and started nagging.
All right. Take it away.
You guys have to pardon me tonight. Apparently, I'm in a mood.
That's right.
That's okay.
You can be in a mood.
All right. It's so stick around. We are going to be coming back with Scott Grunewald, and we can find out if his biggest fan is indeed him. And so we will be right back. We're going to take a break. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cheryl Knight, editor for Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Chad Wilson, Paranormal Underground Magazine's publisher. Every month, Paranormal Underground Magazine explores the unexplained by examining topics that range from haunted sites to ufology to cryptozoology. We also spotlight investigators and researchers who continue to pave the way in a field that seeks to answer some of life's most complex questions.
If you want to read about topics like psychic phenomena, demonology, conspiracy theories, crystals and herbology, and much, much more, visit ParanormalUnderground.net and start exploring the unexplained today. Visit us today at ParanormalUnderground.net and get a 12-month digital subscription for 15% off the cover price.
It's Karen Frazier. I'm here with my co-host of Paranormal Underground Radio, Rick Hale.
Hi, everyone.
We invite you to join Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network to explore the unexplained every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific and other times in the flyover states.
Each week, we talk with investigators in the field, researchers, authors, and experts about topics that include paranormal investigation, ufology, cryptozoology, and spirituality.
So, please join us each Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern for Paranormal Talk with great guests right here on HazyRadioNetwork.com.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Hey, this is Karen Frazier, writer and radio host with Paranormal Underground. Since I wrote my book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, in 2010, people have asked me what happened next. In my new book, Dancing with the Afterlife, a paranormal memoir, my Wellington story continues. Dancing with the Afterlife is more than the continuation of the Wellington story, however. It's also the story of a lifetime of afterlife research and paranormal encounters. What I've learned has changed my life, and it might change yours as well. To learn more about Dancing with the Afterlife or to read an excerpt from the book, visit DancingWithTheAfterlife.com. Thank you.
Hi, this is Hazy, and you're listening to the Hazy Radio Network.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Hazy Radio Network, its affiliates, or sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at hazyradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick, respectively. And tonight joining us is going to be Scott Grunewald. I'm sure you're very familiar with Scott. He's a very funny guy. He is the West Coast reporter and correspondent for Paranormal Paparazzi. He's done quite a bit of investigating at the Wolf Manor Hotel, one of the most haunted places in the world, as well as StuCon, which is a paranormal conference that he puts on once a year, and the man who's trying to popularize investigating naked. So we're definitely going to find out about that. So Scott Grunewald, welcome to the Underground.
Hi, long-time listener, first-time caller. Hi.
Hey, Will. Hello. Welcome to the show. Don't be nervous, caller.
You guys, I'm a little nervous. I'm kind of clenched up. I've never been on a radio show before. It's kind of new to me. So if I say, if I say things like Haunted Orange County, Haunted Orange County, Haunted Orange County, Haunted Orange County, there, Ernie, I did it. It might just be because I'm nervous.
Okay, well, we certainly understand that. We'd also like to welcome your cat to the show, I understand.
Yeah, she's right here. Cat.
Yes.
What's his name?
Well, on TV, he's goes as Steve Gonzalez, but in personal, it's a girl, and her name's Sassy.
Sassy! Oh, okay. Well, Sassy. Welcome to the show, Sassy. Feel free to... Is Sassy also nervous?
Yeah, she's licking herself, so yes.
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I don't know if she... Either she's mimicking me at this time. I don't know what she's doing. She's doing something.
So, I think we just have to talk about the elephant in the room, and I hope you take that as a flattering comparison, because I really don't know. But ghost hunting naked.
You know what? Yeah, okay, here, let's put it like this. People are afraid of the Ouija board, and really it's just an old-time way of doing EVPs, and they didn't have recording, okay? So, it's all in perspective how people do their different types of investigating. Now, let's say, okay, Karen, Rick, we're dead. Sorry, you died. We're all dead. And and let's throw Cheryl in there, too. Cheryl, you're dead, too. And Sassy. Okay, we're all kind of haunting this place.
Yeah. So I don't have to pay bills anymore.
Thanks.
Yeah, you don't have to pay any more bills. You can live anywhere you want for free. Bunny Ranch, Linda Vista Hospital, Wolf Manor. Well, he might charge you. But still. it's meant what Amy says in her next show. Okay, we're all dead. Okay, we were floating around or whatever. I hate to do that because I don't mean to be disrespectful to the dead. Even though the G word might even be disrespectful. Let's just call them transparent Americans. So we're transparent Americans. And we're floating around, and we're doing our thing. And then over in this one room, you've got a group doing EVP sessions. Tell us your name, where you live. You know, nothing gets out of school. But in the other room, you've got people running around naked. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go over there and show them a sign of my penis presence. So, I would totally be attracted to the naked people. So there is a science, sort of, to it. Of a paranormal stimulus, if you will, that people that have passed on might be, even if they're really good Christians and all that, that's fine. Everybody kind of wants to see somebody naked in the afterlife or now. I have a feeling they kind of gravitate, if there's gravity over there, towards us more than they do, let's say, the average group.
Okay, well, unless it's somebody that just shouldn't be seen naked. And, there are some people like that.
Well, I'm doing the show naked right now.
Yes.
See, God bless you, Rick. See, and it's spreading. No, not Rick's not spreading. Well, it's kind of, I don't know if you're spreading. Something's spreading. But it's kind of a cool thing if you think about it. Now, 98% of the people in the paranormal should not be seen naked. So
I'm
get
one
that.
Of them. Absolutely.
I'm one of them, too. You don't want to see me. Well, actually, I was naked on TV four times.
Oh, there you go.
If I had
a
dollar,
it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. They've seen me and my stuff. So, I think that if you take a group, now residential is probably not a good idea. You know what I mean?
Especially with small children involved there.
Small children, nuns.
Thinking about this for our next residential. I'm sure that they'll really appreciate it.
Wouldn't that be funny, though? Okay, let's do this. Let's do a TV show, and we'll get all of us, and we'll wear those band-aids so you can't really see the spots, even though they know. Really? And so we go, and we do a TV show called The Naked Investigator, and we show up at people's residences, because it's real, because it's TV, and right. We do everything in the nude, and to see what kind of evidence we get. I think that's probably the worst idea. But let's take it. You're sensitive, Karen. You've got the ability to feel and see. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just say the naked investigator is just going into a place blind. If we say, okay, we're going to take Karen and we're going to bring her over to this place, and she knows nothing about the place. Okay. Also, isn't that a type of being naked? I mean, either way, if you're stripped down or you're unfamiliar with the place, are you vulnerable?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. And when you go into a place and you don't know anything and people are watching you to see what you come up with, yeah, that is a very naked feeling sometimes.
Yeah, but I do have a question about this, Scott, because I do think that there might be a little bit of a hole in your theory, although it's a very fun theory and it's something that I could totally get into. But, okay, now, what about when, spirits appear to people, they got the frilly shirts, from like Seinfeld or whatever, because they've been dead for about 400 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about those guys when they appear with their clothes on?
I asked somebody this question a long time ago, and I believe it's the Constantinos, that why are EVPs in other countries answering us in our language? I feel the same way about how a ghost appears to us. They don't want to appear, even though we die naked, they don't want to appear shocking. If they're trying to, if they're trying to give us a message to, like, hey, tell my wife I love her, or I'm stuck here and I need help, or something where they're actually using us as a vessel, so mm-hmm. To speak to the living for them, they don't want to come at us, intimidating or naked, because we'd be shocked. Because in their mindset is like they wore clothes. And that's just what they did. And the clothes that they wore, when they were alive. So I think that they come to us the way we want to see them, or they want us to see them. So, I'd love if, I have a really good picture of a naked ghost. Schlong, the whole deal. And, and I never put it on Facebook, or I think I put it on MySpace. It was earlier in the Wolf Manor times.
Scott, hang on a second. We were just talking about the destruction of MySpace, and we have you to blame.
It's my fault. It's me and Todd Wolf, Zach Bagans, Chris Fleming, who also looks very good naked. But MySpace kind of imploded. It's weird. I go there every once in a while. I see, like, Jay-Z doing something, or Miley Cyrus, or it's something else. It's still there. It's just, like, this weird brother that's, you don't talk about kind of thing.
Definitely.
And I remember the earlier days of MySpace, and it was, people started learning HTML code. People started learning to put players on their thing. It's very, very interactive. So much that people were like, this is too much. Facebook came along and people go, God, how plain is this? I can't play. Call me maybe when you check onto my site. Really? It's so weird and plain. But it became the new thing, so everybody started using that. I remember a lot of people would put their paranormal photos more on MySpace, their evidence that they gathered, than they do really on Facebook, or I just don't see it as much, which sets themselves up for ridicule or whatever, my evidence that I gather, with my group, we use the way we do it is 100 years ago. We have a candle, we have a bell, we have a compass, and that's really it. It's less than 10. We go to investigating. Rick, Aaron, throw Cheryl and Sassy in there. Investigators in training. And we go to a place and we take a gun and we put a bullet in this gun and we cock it. We set it on the table and the other side sees that gun. And they go, I know what that is. I know what that is because that's a gun that's got a bullet in it, and I don't think it's going to hurt me, but I understand what that is, and it's not touching the guy's hand. We're safe. But then all these groups go in with these wonderful pieces of equipment. I'm not bagging on equipment, but they go with these blinking lights, and they go in with these crazy things, and the other side's like, I don't know what this is, and it's kind of intimidating and scary to me.
Yes.
But a bell set in the middle of a room, can you just ring the bell for us? you know, or a compass for EMF. I mean, it's very 100 years ago, and they understand. They look at it and they go, "I know that's a bell. How cool is this? This guy's got a bell here." You know, so that's but what we do.
What if Steve Jobs is the ghost? He's going to be really insulted that all you've got there for him is a stinking bell.
He's like, "Where's my app? You're not using the job app, yeah, which is hard to find, by the way. I've looked." And, you know, and that's the thing. We move ahead in the future. And then, like I said, I'm Bill Chappell or any of these amazing inventors that do this because they are bringing us that much closer to the piece of equipment that's going to let us talk to the other side. Sylvia Brown predicted it. It was 2012. But that's a long story. So, you know, we are getting closer and we're getting closer. And hopefully in our lifetimes, but it doesn't really matter if we're dead, if we're still going to be involved. There's going to be this phone to the dead. There's going to be this communication where we can say, "Hey, that man killed me and left me at this place. Go find my body." You know,
and they won't and have to use people like me anymore.
But that'd
be fine.
Yes, we'll hire you. Well, what we'll do is they'll hire you to do the advertising on TV naked. So it'd be like, because by the time it happens, we're all going to be naked on TV.
Nobody wants that. Frasier. Trust me.
I'm a Frasier Knight. I am a big fan.
So. Nobody wants
me
to
and Cheryl.
See
well, Cheryl you don't know. It. Oh, wait, I guess you do. Well, you're psychic, so I guess you know.
Yeah.
I'm a twin, so I have this kind of little connection with something out there, but I call myself a 3% psychic because I'm like, I can usually get height and gender of the person I'm talking to. And in the paranormal, that's kind of hard for gender. But still, it's like I have this link. And my twin is very, very sensitive and it knows lots of stuff. So me, I like to utilize people with your abilities or Rick's naked abilities either way to do an investigation. I'll just stick to the bell and the penis provoking.
My milkshake brings all the girls in the yard, so.
It does.
I'm going to scrub my brain after this show. And, you know, I can go blue with the best of them, but.
You know,
all
Cheryl,
right, anyway.
Cheryl,
so.
I see Cheryl right now, and I don't even have to be psychic for this. She has her finger hovering
the
over the dump button,
so fast.
Right now.
You are so wrong. You are so wrong. I'm laughing my ass off right now.
Yeah, that's okay. You can say that. And by the way, Scott,
I do
hear that you told Cheryl that you would watch her language. And I want you to know that other than Mr. Bagans, only one other person has ever dumped an F-bomb on this show. And sadly, it was me.
they thought the entire thing would be me.
There was one other F-bomb, Karen, but it was on pre-record, and I was able to edit it out.
Who was that?
Rick, do you remember who that was?
That had to have been Steve DeShavi.
It was.
Oh, that did guy, Steve drop an F-bomb,
Or four or five.
That guy has a mouth like a longshoreman. I mean, he's a cool cat and everything. Man.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is, you know, just... We prefer no F-bombs because the network doesn't like them. But, you know, certain people get away with certain things on this show.
You know, it really depends. You know, if it happens, it happens. I know Brett Griffin said that word on Live Sci-Fi, I think it was a couple of years ago, and it kind of fired from the network. There are some words that happen. I mean, shit happens, okay? It just does. But there are words that you don't want to use. Hi, Annie.
Hi.
I'm doing a million-dollar radio show. Please leave me alone.
I can't help myself.
If you guys didn't know, I am a genius, extraordinaire expert. Mom, I'm doing my show. Leave me alone.
Go away.
Go away, Mom. Hi, Mom. Here's my wife. I call her Mom.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, you've got your mom, you've got your cat. I'm beginning to form a totally different picture of you.
Do you play D&D?
Naked? I don't know.
Yeah, we have a strange house here at the Stu, and being part of the Stu, the neighbors all know. It's nothing to see me run down the street in a nightie with a blonde wig on. They're like, oh, he's doing the show. We had a guy, Rex Williams, from Destination Truth, and we filmed this thing called Psychic Tiff and the Terminator. And God bless Psychic Tiff. I just love her dearly, and I hope she recovers soon. But it was a story where the Terminator went back in time and killed the psychic that told John Connor through tarot card reading that he was going to save the world. So we were out in front shooting guns at each other. And so the neighbors, they don't even call the police. They're just like, no, it's... So what's going to happen is someone's going to, like, home invade my house, and they're going to come kick in the door and blow us all away, and they're going to go, oh, they're doing the show. It's going to be the old Lincoln thing, the old Abraham Lincoln thing.
Yeah, but
So you're screwed is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. If anything happens, if shit gets real, no luck for you.
And it's going to get real.
I need a code word. I need like a light out front, like a purple light bulb. And tell my neighbors, the purple light bulb means they call the cops.
Oh, you need like a safe word, like banana.
You know what the worst safe word is?
Well, that is easy to get around the ball gag, isn't it?
Yes, that's what it is in my mouth, a ball gag, that's it.
All right. You know,
Rick,
Scott. No,
I'm sorry. I've gone to a very dark place. I'd like to apologize to our listeners. Move on.
Yeah, I have this image of Scott in my mind with a naked ball gag in his mouth, holding an EMF detector, and I may.
Oh,
have,
it's not an
like,
EMF detector.
Rub
he
my
uses,
brain.
Rick.
You say you're not psychic. Stop remote viewing me right now.
So it's like
my outfit.
There's a reason I called it the elephant in the room, Scott.
Oh, I thought it was because of the size of his trunk. Look at me. Honey, stop bothering me. I'm doing a $1 million show at scroll up. No, I'm kidding. Paranormal on ground.
Yeah. Would you Everybody's like to come say hi?
They say hi for Paranormal and their sheep. Yeah. Dinner on the floor. Okay. I have a great relationship with my wife. We've been together since fifth grade.
That's seriously? You picked her out in fifth
Seriously.
Grade?
Well, fifth grade I bothered her, and she was like, leave me alone, and finally let's get married. So we've never been with anybody else, actually. It's like we've only been with each other. It's a good thing. And we still have sex twice a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. So,
well, I am so glad that the show is on Thursday.
On Thursday,
then.
Yeah,
because
well,
in about 20 minutes, things get a little embarrassing.
Well, actually, I could totally knock it out in like 3 minutes. So,
okay, you could probably do it on break.
I'm good.
Then. Okay.
Yeah, on break, you'd be like, oh, you know, let me go ahead and lock the store. And I come back. What weird something? It's ghosts in my house.
Yeah.
You know what's trippy is we have a Paul over at Wolf Manor, and he's our guy that wanders around.
I have
Wolf
a Paul
Manor
in my basement.
Right, and so we have a basement over there. So I'm thinking maybe we can get the Pauls together, maybe simulcast something between you guys and us over there, and maybe talk to the Pauls. And
do you have a guy on stairs who wears a Mr. Rogers sweater?
No, but we have a shuffler, we call him, and he's on the stairs. So it was an old folks' home, so there was a lot of shuffling going on.
Oh my goodness, yes, lots of shuffling.
You know, Scott, I'm glad that we segued into Wolf Manor because I watched...
Is that what that was?
I think... I'm going to say that's what it was, yeah. We kind of, like, shifted gears there.
You're good, man.
Yeah, was it? I'm kind of bowing to him right now. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So Wolf Manor, now, I watched the documentary that you did with Todd Wolf, and I don't get the Travel Channel, so I don't really get a chance to like watch Ghost Adventures or anything like that. But this is the most fascinating place that I've ever seen, and I saw something that you guys may have possibly missed. And I actually
sent it to me.
Well,
you did. It was a name.
Well, yeah, it was. I sent it to Todd, and it was the part where you're up in Mary's room and you're saying, "Mommy." You're doing like the recording of Mommy, and you keep saying it over and over again. Okay, now that doorway where you guys were hearing all like the funny noises and stuff like that, if you go back and watch that, after you say Mommy and you pass that door, you can see somebody peek in and then zip right out.
It's totally freaking down here. That is the nursery bathroom to nursery. Bathroom to nursery. I'm sorry, on your show, I'm writing this down.
No.
This is amazing, Rick, because this is how we actually get stuff. The Man Baby was born from that. We did a live show, so we passed the camera. Somebody said, stop, hey, go back to 1243. We went back to 1243. We saw this thing sitting on the floor. And major thing or not, we've had multiple people, sensitives, and other people go, oh, my God, that's the thing that grabbed my ankle, or that's the thing I saw with Manor. So okay. I love this, Rick. I mean, it's amazing. I love this stuff because now we can go back with a look at it. And Taz, I mean, Taz usually sends me this stuff, you know, and I'm surprised I didn't. But I just, weird that I thought it was used because someone sent me the other day, someone got a name on it, that thing, too, as well. But mm-hmm. it was like, oh, my God, you know, the name was Fraser.
Yeah, hey, this isn't even weird. That's probably me.
Karen.
Yeah.
They must be watching the show. They must be watching the show. They must be watching the show from the other side.
Okay.
Probably. I'm well known over there.
Yeah, on the other side. I bet. Yeah, you know, I'm quite famous. That's terrifying to me, for myself. My sister, it's okay. You, it's okay. But for me, working at the Wolf Manor as a handyman, and thank you very much, Rick, for that. That's awesome. I'm going to check that out. I'm glad I'm not sensitive like that. But every sensitive is in there, they're like, okay, there's a man over here, there's a, you know, you're not picking up any Mary, if they're, you know, this whole stuff. And I'm like, I'm watching it, you know, and I enjoy it. It's thrilling to me. But I'm just thinking, I have to go in there at night by myself, and the alarm goes off, and like in the middle of the night, the alarm will go off, and Todd says me, and I go over there, and I have to walk the whole building, because the cops won't come in. They stay at the front door. They won't even walk in. They're supposed to, but they won't. And I have to walk every room in an 8,000 square foot house by myself. There's no electricity on me, but some electricity, but it was a flashlight and see if there's anybody in there. And just praying that nothing jumps out, human or whatever. I can only imagine doing that and having the ability. So I guess you have to get used to it, Karen. I mean, it's probably something you've done all your life, so you're probably used to it. It's not like you went into a place recently and went, oh God, I can see dead people.
I've had it all my life. I spent a lot of time in denial because I thought it made me weird, strange, possibly crazy. And it's really been in probably the past 4 years that I've started working with it. And yeah, it's I am used to it, and it dead people and ghosts have never been something that have scared me or bothered me. The only thing that bothers me is the physical stuff. Because I get the I'm empathic, and I'm both emotionally empathic and physically empathic. So if they want to tell me how they died, they make it hurt. So there's
so,
that.
So okay, explain to me this. And I've been doing paranormal for a couple decades, but I like the way you just put it. So if you went to a location,
Are you? It's not done. Dinner's ready.
I'm doing a million-dollar show here.
Tell the million-dollar people that you're at dinner's ready.
Shush.
What's for dinner?
Celebrities don't. All right.
I'll make you.
Actually, my mom passed away years ago, but she's here with us. So anyway, I was like, wow, did you really just say that? So, you know, so
it, you said you call your wife mom.
I mean, okay. Yeah, I call my wife mom. You know, mom's here. We've all died in this house. Everybody will die that lives here. I'll die here. My son will die here. We all die here. You know, my cousin Patrick hung himself in the garage. We have so much going on here. We just don't investigate here because it's like, when my mom was alive, she had this house the night before she died. We were messing with the hack shack or the Frank's box because my mom was in the paranormal since 1969 or whatever. Still my favorite paranormal investigator and big influence on my life. But, anyways, back to the other thing about being empathic. So if you go to, let's say you go to Linda Vista Hospital. No, let's say you go to a sanatorium, I'm not going to get into that whole thing, whatever. You go to the one where people suffered. Mm-hmm. When you leave there, are you sick? Do you have to take time off? I mean, is it like something, you're a hangover kind of thing? Because you feel their pain.
Well, so here's what I like is that first of all, I like that we've made this your interview about me. So thank you.
Yes, you know, and I like that about you. Saying that about that.
So It's actually a really good question, and it's one that people ask me a lot. So, yes, I do wind up hungover. I will tell you that pretty much every investigation I do when I'm leaving that investigation is the last investigation I'm ever, ever, ever going to do. And it's the last haunted place I'm ever going to go to because I feel lousy. I'm exhausted. My body hurts. And the next day I typically have a migraine, although I've been working on that and I'm getting better at dealing with that. So yeah, it is very – there are things that you can do. But the thing is, it's the living too. I can't go into Walmart because the place is a pit of despair.
Right. Well, that's not it even is. Psychically. The place is a pit of despair.
Well, right. But then when you're empathic, it's a seething pit of despair. So yeah, it does take a toll, and I do need to take a little bit of a break. When I have things a couple days in a row, that usually doesn't work real well for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like, I've seen people collapse in Wolf Manor. I've seen people just drop down, just throw up and cry. I cry. So I maybe pick up something, but the first time I ever went in there, I went in there to prove that the house was fake and Todd's a fake, and that's why I went there.
How'd that work out for you?
Not so well. I get kissed on the face and I started crying. And that wasn't from Todd. That was actually from a ghost. So I was like, oh my God, I told this tour guide person. I said, hey, and I think that's what his badge said, tour guide person. I'm not sure. It was like Seth, the tour guide person. I said, hey, Seth, the tour guide person, I'm crying. It's, it happens all the time. I go, listen, asshole, it never happens to me. What's going on? You know, it's like, I'm being affected here. Don't worry, walk it off. Whatever. Like, is it really that active here? Tour guides, they beef everything up. Of course, that's their job, is to make it way, it's like, we're going to go in the next room, and if anybody feels sick, there's a bucket in the corner to throw up. Well, you're going to get somebody that's going to throw in. Some tour guides do, and God bless them. I love them dearly, and I can see them all the way. But I'm like, oh my God, this is really... So I went home, and it was really the first investigation I ever went to. Well, it was more, it became an investigation. Then when I got home to my house, I was scared of my house. I mean, I've been investigating since I was 16 years old. That's when I started, and then I skipped a bunch of years. I had never felt this. When I walked in my house, I was like looking at my dog, and I was like, why are you looking at me like that? And the dog's staring at me, and just being a dog. I got to go out and check my van to see if it's locked. I don't want to go out. I'm terrified. I'm feeling dread in my own house. And it was the first time I've ever felt that. And I knew from that moment on, there's a connection, some umbilical, something connecting me to the Wolf Manor. So I...
Have you ever explored what that connection is?
Well, I went on MySpace and I said I was at Wolf Manor. My cousins I never talked to, he goes, oh yeah, your grandpa was there and your great uncle.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. Wow. So now it becomes way more personal to me, and I'm like, okay, I need to talk to Todd Wolf, and I started working there as a handyman, and I've been there years now. I don't even know how many years now, but I'm blessed to have one of the most active, haunted, trippy places in the world at my disposal. I just have to keep the place in somewhat of an order. That and Linda Vista Hospital, I think, are probably the two of the most haunted places. I went to these people that told the Felton Group, and I can say their name now because I'm not afraid of them anymore. They used to worship this demon, and they lived in these mountains up in Felton in California, and I was invited to go to one of their rituals, and where they burn money and this kind of stuff. And they're all millionaires, and all their kids go to Ivy League schools, but they worship this demon in hoods and the whole thing, you know? And so after that investigation, I went to stay at the Brookdale Lodge, and that night, and I've been to Brookdale many times, but that night in particular, things came to me. I mean, they were like, they were touching me on the face. They wouldn't let me sleep. My wife's earrings were thrown across the room. I hate when people say a story like that. They were missing off the bureau, so I mean, in the nightstand. So, those three places are the top for me. And I've been all over the place, and the Travel Channel's been very good to me at putting me in places like the Bunny Ranch, which is also very haunted in a different way. But still, it was very great to stay there for 50,000 bucks, 2 days. So, and it was they actually that place. Is, I mean, if you get the opportunity to go to the Bunny Ranch, go. I mean, absolutely go there.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Scott. If my wife even got even heard of something like that, I would probably be locked up in the closet. There's no way she would let me there.
Just to investigate or something?
Yeah. No,
well, here's the thing. Is I called my wife. I'm on the road. I go, hey, I'm going to the Bunny Ranch. She goes, no, you're not. And I go, and we're going to do the show. She goes, no, you're not. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk to Andy Kaufman. And no, you're not. I said, honey, I got to do this. This is for the show. You're not on the show anymore. And then finally, I go, well, I'm going to do it, right? Like the last stand. I'm doing it. You know, she goes, no, you're not. After that, I mean, I've already been the naked investigation. I mean, you know, what's next? What's left?
Where do you go from there?
So I had to call. Yeah, where do you go from there? So I went, and she, you know, she was okay. She goes, just call me every 3 minutes because that's how long it takes for you to have an orgasm. So make sure you call me every 3 minutes for the entire 2 days that you're there.
Was she just going to make sure you didn't sound tired or something?
Right. I've never been with another woman, and she thinks I'm going to go and to the Bunny Ranch and drop $5,000 for these two women. $5,000, Rick.
Good
for
Lord.
90 minutes of investigating.
Of investigating, yes.
That kind of investigating, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind.
I would have no problem with my husband going to the Bunny Ranch to investigate.
Oh. That's good. Yeah, and I'm sure he would be like, I'm so going to just do that. It's for science. Because if it's for science, you know, you say anything. It's like, let's say you're sexing with somebody, and not that I would do that, but it's for science.
I'm doing that right now, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I know, me too. So if you end it with, it's for science. And then they're like, okay, you see my boobs.
Oh, yeah.
It's for science.
That's right. It's either for science or, if you know, you could also say it's for Jesus. Just depends on your audience.
StuCon, August 3rd in L.A. You guys, if you can make it, come on out. We don't use any people, any famous people to promote it. We thought we'd spoof. That's what the Stu is. If you've never seen it, it's this horrible show that's on some show somewhere. You can find it. I don't know where it is. But we thought we'd spoof a convention by making it only $1.25 of the overnight investigation because free isn't funny. And now we had to raise the price like most to do. It's $5 beginning with a dollar investigation. And it'll be in L.A. at a really haunted place. And there's a lot of TV people come. So, I'm going to say who it is because, like last year, Zach showed up and Chad Lindbergh and a lot of other people showed up. It was really cool for the fans, their fans to see them there. But you never know what you're going to get. So it's fun. But it's not about the celebrities. It's really about being a apparel whore and meeting other apparel whores.
I wanted to ask you about that. What exactly is a para whore, though? I mean, I see the T-shirts, and I'm kind of wondering where I can find one, but,
I'll send it.
Awesome. But,
you go to a convention. We got a few minutes here. You go to a convention, and there was, and you see someone sitting by themselves. It's just like the woman's sitting over there texting by herself. And she's been there for over maybe 20 minutes, and you realize that, she's paid $300 for this event, and she's just kind of sitting there. So, why deny your right to improve? That woman might be the sensitive or the person that's going to help you connect with the other side. If you don't go up and talk to them, how are you going to know? Fair whores do that. We try to bring as many people together. We're not into paternal unity because I'm not going to fight that friggin' battle.
No, but
same way.
Right. It's weird. Put your hands together. Let's take a picture. I don't think so. Or that guy sitting by himself. He might have the chip that goes in your piece of equipment that's going to make it, that phone that we've all been waiting for, to speak to the dead. Why deny your right to improve? Why deny your right to improve by keeping yourself cocooned or clicked up with your own little group, with your shirts and all your stuff, and being that person that's not going to go talk to it? So we're invited to the Queen Mary and other things as a group of para whores. There's five of us. And we had five shirts made. And we went there, and we just started getting people to talk to each other and mingling. And if they do, they do it. If they don't, they don't. But that's what it was all about. And that's where the name... People are going, well, para whores are just people that go to conventions to try to sleep with famous people. Happens. Good for you. But that's not. But you guys, I'll get your addresses, and I'll send you guys your skinnier sizes and flavor.
I'll just fringe on Facebook just a second.
Okay.
I can do it right now. if you'll accept my friend request, and I can understand if you don't want to.
Well, I have I have room. I have two left.
Okay, well, I just sent you a request, so there you go, in under the wire.
It's going to come up, boop, boop, okay. One.
So, that's you?
This is exciting.
Oh, we're so investigating together.
It's my, the picture of my son photobombing, yes, that would be me.
Married.
We did it.
Why did we do that? We married. Oh, married, Jim.
We did it live on Facebook, everyone. We made a friend connection on Facebook. Yes, live on the radio. Uh-huh. That is the excitement of live radio. So, Scott, do you have to go, or are you going to stick around with our next guest?
I'm going to stick around for a minute. I'm actually going to eat my dinner, but I'm staying online here. Okay. Can I? If I just mute out?
Yeah, so we're actually going to go to break anyway. And when we come back, maybe you'll be done eating by then.
Can I say one thing before we go to break?
Yes.
Sure.
Haunted Orange County.com. July 13th, Pasadena Playhouse. Naked Investigation. $25 to get in. Take off your clothes and run around the Pasadena Playhouse. They're going to kill me.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Okay, everybody, stick around. We will be coming back in just a couple minutes. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cheryl Knight, editor for Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Chad Wilson, Paranormal Underground Magazine's publisher. Every month, Paranormal Underground Magazine explores the unexplained by examining topics that range from haunted sites to ufology to cryptozoology. We also spotlight investigators and researchers who continue to pave the way in a field that seeks to answer some of life's most complex questions.
If you want to read about topics like psychic phenomena, demonology, conspiracy theories, crystals and herbology, and much, much more, visit ParanormalUnderground.net and start exploring the unexplained today. Visit us today at ParanormalUnderground.net and get a 12-month digital subscription for 15% off the cover price.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting, so why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
Stop giving me those tales of wonderment. Hi, this is Hazy, and you're listening to the Hazy Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at hazyradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen and Rick. For the first hour, we've been having a lot of fun with Scott Grunewald going over, Naked Investigating and Wolf Manor. Somehow they fit together, and I'm not quite sure.
But, and over the break, we all took our clothes off, so now we're also naked broadcasting.
I was already naked.
I thought I was the only one, but apparently...
No, you're not.
Yeah, wow. You don't have to feel uncomfortable at all.
Wow, we're all on the same page then.
Yeah.
So in case if anybody's wondering who this mysterious caller is, this disembodied voice, we're being joined right now by actor Chad Lindberg. Chad has been in a ton of movies. I mean, seriously, dude, you are like the hardest working man in show business. Films, Fast and the Furious, Last Samurai, Alex Cross, with a ton of them.
You have a rather long IMDb resume, I'm telling you.
Well, you really you. Do. You
I
really
appreciate
do.
That. I feel very fortunate that I've been able to work and have one. So it's thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't stop there. You got TV. You got Weeds, which is a show that I actually like.
Oh, I like Weeds. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Weeds is very funny. NCIS, Supernatural, X-Files. You know, I'm sorry, but that kind of makes you a nerd god right now. And Buffy the Vampires. I mean, actually, yes. All these television shows are nerd god status.
I've hit a lot of the nerd shows, which is awesome.
Is that because you yourself are a nerd?
Exactly.
Got it.
You're in good company, my friend.
That's exactly what it is. What's that?
Nerds. And dude, nerds are even better, so there you go.
It's the only way to be, in my opinion.
So, Chad, from what I understand is that you're actually fairly new to the field. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've always had an interest. I've had experiences all my life, but it wasn't until I got a hold of Zach and went on the ghost adventures that it really sort of like took off from there and exploded and really came into my own and had started, investigating and collecting all the toys and all of that fun stuff.
So you actually started your, and I always have to put air quotes around career because paranormal investigating is, it's like a pseudo career, I suppose. But you actually started your paranormal career with one of the more extreme gung-ho ghost hunters out there.
Yeah.
Hold on, Cheryl, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. I'm playing nice. Okay, please, Chad, go.
yes, with Zach Bagans, and I reached out to him on Twitter because it's my favorite show. Movies and TV for me are a little skewed, so that show just brings the awe, and I love their style, and I reached out to him on Twitter, and we became friends, and then I met Aaron not too long after that. And, after a year later, they had me to the Linda Vista, which was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. So you started out with the Ghost Adventures crew in the Linda Vista?
Yeah.
And you're still alive?
Yeah. No, it was, I had been there a long time ago because they film a lot of movies there.
Sure.
And, I ended up getting scratched. It was gnarly. The spirit box said my name, and that was kind of the beginning. And then after that, the whole world opened up, and, I've been meeting everybody in the field, and here I am talking to you guys,
Well, and really, we are the most important, so just keep that in mind.
Exactly.
And, yeah. So, hey, Scott, are you still with us? He must be eating.
Wow.
Okay, well, when Scott gets back on, we had a little, we were telling him about the time that we gravely insulted your friend Zach Bagans unintentionally, and we were going to play that clip for him, so we'll wait until he gets back. And you are with Haunted Orange County. Are you your own biggest fan? Now Chad Lindberg's biggest fan is in the chat room. Is that you, or still Scott?
Or is it, who is it?
Well, you see, Scott put himself in the chat room as his own biggest fan, and apparently he's changed it to now he's your biggest fan.
I love Scott.
Oh, so let's talk about Haunted Orange. Well, first of all, let's talk about you got scratched at Linda Vista with the Ghost Adventures guys. What else happened to you?
God, what happened that night? It started with the whole spirit box. We were walking down the main corridors, and Zach goes, "Who's standing next to me?" And it goes, "Chad," and I flipped out. I thought it was awesome. And then he sent Aaron and I over to the mental ward to do our own little investigating. And that's when crazy things started happening to us. I asked what happens when you die, and then you hear it go, Linda, Vista, which was awesome. And then, you know, I had gotten scratched in the room, and I actually didn't feel the scratch when it happened. It wasn't 3 days later I felt this huge burning sensation on my back. And I went and looked in the mirror, and sure enough, it was three markings on my neck. And I called Zach and sent him a picture, and I'm like, I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but I think I got marks. He's like, yeah, dude, that's exactly what happened. And we had a long conversation about it, and it was a mixture of feeling sort of nauseous and feeling like the biggest badass for like a week and a half. It was a really interesting feeling.
Welcome to paranormal investigation, huh?
Yeah, that was sort of the mark. That was the beginning.
So,
yeah. So, hey, I guess Scott is listening, and Chad, I'll just set this up for you, because we were telling Scott off the air that the last time Zach was on our show, we accidentally insulted him. There's a guy here locally, I live in Washington State, who wants to be Zach Bagans in the worst way possible.
Right.
And so I made a little commercial about him. Cheryl, you want to play it?
I sure can.
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal TV Show.
Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal Show.
You wear your beans with pride and your t-shirt three sizes too small, even though you have the body of a 98-pound video game nerd. Every location you visit may have a gift shop and thousands of visitors, but somehow you still get possessed by something evil.
You're dragging me straight to hell.
It may look like a bug to the rest of the world, but to you it's a demonic orb, and it wants to eat your soul. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Overly Dramatic. Your acting may not be all that great, but you sure look awesome every time you see yourself in the mirror.
It's the guy who wants his own paranormal show.
Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
So anyway, we made this lovely ad about this guy locally, and we played it for Zach thinking he would really get a kick out, and he thought we were making fun of him.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
I thought he was going to kill Karen. I thought he was going to jump through the screen and split her head like a pot. Like
it wasn't that bad, you guys.
So it was meant for the guy in Washington who desperately wants his own show.
Who desperately wants to be Zach Bagans.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there can be only one, you know? There's only one.
There really can only be one.
Yeah.
So I felt really badly because I felt like, you know, we hurt his feelings, and he hasn't been on the show since, so... You know, but we found it amusing, except for the fact that, you know, it was not nice to Zach, apparently.
Well, we're out in Washington, I'm curious, because I'm from Washington.
Oh, well, I live in a little town called Chehalis, but I'm not actually from here. I'm from up in the Seattle area. Where are you from in Washington?
I grew up in Mount Vernon.
You did? I grew up in Bellingham.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I grew up in Mount Vernon pretty much my whole life.
So did you see that bridge that fell into the Skagit River on I-5 a few weeks ago, then?
I didn't see it. I heard about it, and my mom called me, and I thought somebody had died. I'm like, Mom, what's wrong? And she's like, the bridge is falling. And I'm like, what? And thank God no one was hurt or died, because, you know, that's just, you know.
That was horrifying, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're a Mount Vernon boy,
kind of shook the town up.
Yeah, it certainly did. I know my folks were coming down from Bellingham, and fortunately not that day, so...
Right.
Oh, anyway, so now that we got off track, so...
It happens quite a bit on this show.
It's me.
You said Washington, but yeah, I had to...
No, that's cool. Yeah. You're not the first guest who I've wound up talking to here that's had Washington ties. So, you know, Washington, woo, I bet you don't miss the weather, though, huh?
You know what? I love seasons, so I'm all about it. And being in L.A. and the constant sun, it's nice, don't get me wrong. But after a while, I'm like, man, I need some snow. I need some rain.
Well, go visit your parents. Your parents still live there.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom, Chad, when are you coming to visit? Soon, Ma.
Actually, in about a week, I'm driving up the coast, and I'm actually going to be stopping and doing an investigation with the Constantinos at the Shanghai Tunnels in Portland.
Oh, very
cool.
I have not been there. I've investigated a lot of places in and around the area because, of course, Chehalis is halfway between Seattle and Portland. But the Shanghai Tunnels is one that I'd really like to investigate. I hear it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Very cool. So what other places have you investigated that you've decided are pretty nifty?
Like I said, after doing, you know, the show and meeting their friends and everybody just kind of like opening, you know, up their world for me. I've met Todd Wolf, who, you know, with the Wolf Manor.
Yeah.
I've been up there a few times and have had some great things happen there. With Scott, actually, both times. You know, Scott introduced me to Todd and where else? The Armagosa Hotel recently, or, you know, around October. Billy Tolley from the show was having a ghost investigation for Halloween, so I went out there and that was awesome. Queen Mary, you gotta love the Queen Mary. Where else? You know, Linda Vista. And yeah, Shanghai Tunnels, I'm looking forward to. So.
Well, very cool. So how long are you going to be up here in Washington?
I'm going to be up there for about 3 weeks, and then I'm heading off to do a film in North Carolina for a couple months. So
may I suggest a location then?
Yeah, please.
Head out Highway 2 up to Stevens Pass, okay?
Okay.
When you get to Stevens Pass, you're going to need to wait until around the 4th of July because that's when it'll be finally plowed. When you get to Stevens Pass, to where the ski area is on Highway 2, there's a little break in the Jersey barrier off to your left. Turn down that and take the road down, all the way down, and there will be a little right turn off the road. It'll take you to the parking lot of a little place called Wellington. Okay. It is a very haunted location. It's the site of the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States.
Really?
Yeah. It's a hiking trail. There's a big snow shed there. There's a tunnel. And, yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
It's called Wellington?
Wellington, mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
Yep.
So
just head up Highway 2 to the ski area, and if you get all the way to the ski area parking lot, you've gone too far. There's just a little break, and there's a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit sign that goes over the top of the highway where the break in the Jersey barrier is, and that's where it is. It just takes you down the old Cascade Highway, and then there's a little turn off to your right partway down the road that'll take you down into the parking lot at Wellington.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very cool.
Enjoy.
So, Chad, how exactly did you, you know, come to be involved with, like, Ernie Alonzo and Haunted Orange County? Ernie is a friend of the show. He's actually at frequent flyer status right now.
Ernie pops up from time to time.
Yeah, he's like a whack-a-mole.
I actually met Ernie through Scott Grunewald. Scott invited me down to the Heritage Museum investigation. And I came down and did some investigating, and that's when I met Ernie. And we hit it off, and, you know, actually we just went up to the Wolf Manor not too long ago ourselves and asked me to join their team. And I'm really excited because, you know, I'm really passionate about investigating, and I'm really starting to look to do this as, a side profession, you know, from my acting.
Well, it's definitely, you know, my wife calls it a hobby.
Right.
For like 22, 23 years now or whatever, however long. And my wife calls it a hobby, but it's like, man, this is not just a hobby. This is like you're trying to answer some of the most amazing, greatest mysteries that mankind has ever known. To me, that's not a hobby.
Well, yeah,
that's like,
I mean, things... You know, totally. Exactly. It's looking for the deeper. It's going out. What am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say. It's You go out there.
You're asking big questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so, have you since you say that you've had experiences all your life? So, have you ever had a point where you were a disbeliever, or do you think that you've pretty much, from a young age, figured that this stuff was out there?
Yeah, from a young age, I always kind of had a feeling.
So do you think that has anything surprised you? Because you haven't – how long have you been doing this? Just not terribly long, right?
Chad?
We lost him. Oh, Cheryl, we lost him, I think.
Sexy yeah, Skype.
It's Skype. There we go. Yeah. It's Skype.
Oh, there he is. Woohoo! Do you accidentally mute yourself? That's usually what I do.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's technical things here, I guess.
It's so hard to have a radio show on Skype, but this is what we do.
But that's what we call. That's why we call ourselves the destination truth of paranormal radio.
If it can go wrong, it will. Mm-hmm. Especially if the Dybbuk box is going to be on that night.
Why did you have to, Karen?
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Now, Chad, please go ahead and proceed.
Anything
with
that
your
happens
answer.
When you're on out is my fault because I just said that. Go proceed that with is, your answer.
That's the one thing that scares me in this, because the first time we talked about it, my eyes were burning, I got a horrible headache, and I was having nightmares for weeks afterwards. That's never happened before, until we started talking.
I had the Fibic box in my house for weeks.
Oof.
Anyway, please proceed with your answer to any question that I ask that you feel like to answer at this point.
Yeah, I've always had a passion for it. I've always seen things, and I feel like I've always been very, very open to it. And I feel like they're attracted to me in a way, you know, and truly when, you know, because I watched a lot of the ghost shows over the years, like Most Haunted, and I watched a little bit of the Ghost Hunters, but then when the Ghost Adventures came along, it kind of changed everything for me, and I just kind of like knew, like, man, that's awesome, and they're doing it right, and, you know, I had a growing interest in it, and then when I reached out to them and actually it became a reality, you know, they sort of gave me the tools and showed me how to use them, you know, and how to communicate and broaden your, you know, ghost investigating skills.
You know, Chad, have you ever considered, I mean, since you've been having all of these experiences, you ever considered the fact, you know, maybe you have a psychic ability?
I think a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. I think we all do in a sense. It's just how much we, you know, allow ourselves to be open to it and to those things. But absolutely, yeah.
Right. I absolutely agree with you 100%. I think everybody does too. So is that something that you've been able to use then as you've started investigating and work with?
Yeah, in what way? I don't know exactly. But, like, you know, I guess it's just, I think your body is the best instrument, really, you know, and feeling what's around you and, you know, something comes up and touches you or you get some goosebumps or, you know, just paying attention to how you feel.
Right. You know, I call it the, it's my own personal theory. I call it the holy shit, there's a saber-toothed tiger standing behind me theory. It's, you know what I mean? I mean, at one time we hunted with predators, large predators,
right.
And if we didn't know what was going on around us, well, we were going to be dinner as well. So we had to, you know, we had to evolve this sense. And I do believe that this is what psychic ability, or at the very least, sensitivity and empathy and being empathic is.
Right, right. Yeah, it gets real. There's that moment when you have some shit that goes down. You're like, man, you know, it gets real.
Well, and again, you didn't exactly start with the mild-mannered paranormal investigation team, you know, or the milquetoast paranormal investigation team. You started with pretty much the most balls to the walls, other than those, you know, I think I've seen one other team that was a little more extreme, but in a very negative way. But, you know, that's like you started with one of the most balls to the walls team I can think of.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I was just, you know, and literally my sister sat me down 5 years ago. She's like, you got to watch these guys. And I said at that time, one day they're going to have me on their show. And I hadn't done Supernatural. I hadn't had a tie into this world, but I just knew I loved it.
Yeah. So you were, you had a recurring role on Supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah. I played Ash, who was the mullet, computer techie roadhouse guy, drank a lot of beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of like a beer drinking geek.
Yeah, but, you know, with some, he was very quirky and fun.
Did you act when you were in school, or how did you come into acting?
I did a lot of plays growing up, and especially in high school. You know, I'm not a sports player by any means. You know, started doing plays in high school, and actually thought I might be good at this. I wanted to do it professionally, and started looking at agencies in Seattle. I found one. It was called Kid Biz, and I was like 16 or 17, and I went and auditioned, and they took me right away, and they set me out the next day for a movie called Born to be Wild, which was this big movie coming up to Seattle to film. And I went out, and it was for to play a burger boss, and I had two lines, and I went out and auditioned for it and ended up booking my very first gig. And then from there, it was kind of like step by step, and then I moved to LA when I was 19 and have been very fortunate to work since.
It's rare to be a regular working actor, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of a one in a million thing. Most people never make it that far, do they?
It is rare. It is rare. Especially looking back, I'm like, man, I'm really thankful that it happened for me, because it's a tough business. It is a really, really hard business. But if you love it, I mean, if it's who you are, you have to just stick to it. You know, and there have been hard times for me. I've had to endure a lot of ups and downs, but you just have to stick with it.
Right. Yeah, I personally with me, I don't know if I could actually get through the audition part of it. I've never done any acting whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I doubt anybody would want to see me do any acting. But just doing the audition, I would imagine that's amazingly nervous.
It is. I still get nervous, you know, at times. It's a very odd process. You have to go in and basically commit, you know, and give it your all in front of a casting director, a room of people, who might be sitting there just cold stone looking at you, giving you no reaction whatsoever. And you have to just go in there and go for it and hope it goes well.
So who on all the projects you've worked on, who has been the person that you've acted with that you've thought, holy shit, I can't believe I'm in this role with this person?
Gosh, you know, there's a lot of them that just kind of come through and you just kind of like, you're like, what? You know, like George Clooney was one of them.
Oops, I think we just lost him again.
No, there he is.
Are you there?
You said George. Yep. We heard George Clooney.
Yeah, George Clooney. I had Antonio Banderas. We had a great time filming with Antonio Banderas. I've been really fortunate to work with a lot of cool people. And you do. You sort of like kind of trip out, because a lot of these people are people I grew up watching, you know, or have been in movies that are special to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would think that George Clooney would probably, I wouldn't be able to speak. I would be rendered. And you know, I don't get a lot of celebrity awe, you know, because you're people doing a job.
Right.
You know, but George Clooney might actually render me speechless.
But I'll tell you, though, he is actually he's very funny and very warm and wants to make you comfortable. So, you know, it wouldn't be possible. He was very just about making people feel comfortable.
Do you have any shows that you would, I mean, other than Ghost Adventures, which you've already done, any shows that you would really love to guest on?
Actually, I did guest on Sons of Anarchy, which is one of my
favorites. Yeah, I saw that. That's so cool.
I had never seen the show, and I got cast, and I filmed my episode, and I was like, oh, these guys are cool. And went back and watched the first season, and now I'm a huge fan. Like, I wish I could go back and do it again.
Oh, so you almost didn't know exactly what you were doing as far as what the show was.
I had no idea. I had no clue. I had never seen the show. And then I went back and watched it, and now I'm like, this is probably one of the greatest shows I've ever seen, ever.
Right.
Yeah, it is a good show. Any others other than Sons of Anarchy? Sorry, Rick.
I would have liked to have been on Lost.
But not the season finale, or the series finale, because that was a big disappointment.
It was. I was like, man, really?
I know. But the rest of the show was awesome. And who do you have any writers or directors or producers that you'd really like to work with?
Oh, man, just so many. I mean, I'll just say Spielberg because that's what I... Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to work with Steven Spielberg. And, you know, he's made some of the greatest movies of all time, you know, and movies that I grew up watching that were special. So, you know, you hope that that's in the cards.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick, you can ask your question now. I'm not going to say another word.
No, I was just going to comment about, you know, the season finale of Lost. It reminds me of when I was a kid watching St. Elsewhere, and it all turned out to just to be the imagination of a child with, I believe it was either autistic or Down syndrome. And
what?
I was just going to... You didn't know that?
No, I never watched St. Elsewhere.
Spoiler alert! But no, that's all I was going to comment on. Yeah, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we watched every single show of every single season, and then we get to that final episode, and I wanted to break my television.
Yeah,
it made me mad.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was more enraging angry than the series finale of Seinfeld.
That's true. Like, how do they? I don't know. How does that work? How does that happen?
I don't know, and one of my absolute favorite series is winding up here this summer, Breaking Bad, and I'm afraid they're going to make it, and Dexter's winding up. Several of my favorite series are winding up, and I'm afraid they're going to Lost me. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I guess we're adding Ernie to the call.
Oh fantastic. Nice.
Do we have to just sit and wait, Cheryl? We could chat amongst ourselves while we're waiting. She says 1 second. Sorry. This is how professional we are here at Paranormal Underground.
No, I call it casual. I like it that way.
We're cash. Yeah, we like to feel like we're sitting around, just, you know, having a cup of coffee or whatever your drink of choice is with someone. We have people sometimes that come on and get a little nervous, and by the time we're done with them, they're fine.
By the time we're done with them, you make it sound like we put them through the ringer.
Well, you do. We're good cop, bad cop. I'm the good cop.
Yeah. Well, no, there have been a couple of shows where it's like it was got a little bit heated.
Oh, hello? Did we get Ernie? No.
I'm back.
No, actually, Skype went down again.
Oh, stupid Skype.
Can you guys hear me?
We lost Chad.
Chad, we can hear you. I can hear Chad.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, he was just gone for just a second. I'm trying to get Ernie's number in here.
Chad,
you play Cheryl Kingman? That I am good cop and Rick is bad cop.
Yes. I see. I have Ernie's Skype, but it's for some reason it's not letting me program his phone number in here. And
do you already have it programmed in from the last time he popped up?
No, we had him on Skype before, so he wants me to call his number. Yeah.
Oh, what was that bloop?
See, Chad, the thing is like I'm huge on theory, so I'm more of the researcher, and Karen is more the investigator. Although I have been going out on more investigations lately, and there have been a couple of times where somebody says something that is like, I'm like, seriously, dude, are you kidding me? And it's like, I've actually had people on the show tell us that psychics are not necessary. And I have no problem saying to them, it's like, well, did you come upon that through years of careful research and field investigation? Well, no, I haven't. And I'm like, well, then you need to close your mouth then.
And really, when somebody says that on the show, what I do is I just sit in the corner with a tub of ice cream and cry. Because if they're saying psychics aren't necessary, I'm feeling just negated as a human being.
Well, I think they just don't understand yet. You know, they're just not aware enough.
Yeah, I agree. And well, I think that also people are so concerned about proving something. And, you know, that's actually one of the things that I've always kind of enjoyed about, I have enjoyed about Ghost Adventures, is that they're not so much about proving as they are about experiencing it in the moment.
That's what I like about the show, too.
Yep. Absolutely. How's it going here, Cheryl?
Well, I have just sent Ernie a message asking if he could call in.
So
we are pros. Woo. So what do you have going on at Haunted Orange County? Let's do that while we're waiting for Ernie.
What's that?
What do you have going on at Haunted Orange County right now?
Well, I know he's got some investigations coming up that we have talked about. However, I'm going to be out of town for the.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be in Washington and in North Carolina. If you guys know anything, any cool places to haunt or hunt in North Carolina.
You want places to haunt or haunted places? Places to haunt. I think that there's a little prerequisite to that.
Yeah. I can't really think of anything. I mean, I know that there's a lot of Civil War sites down that way that you may want to just Google it. I can't really. I mean, there's so many places in like for example, I'm here in Chicago, and we have just a zillion places. So it's like it's hard to come up with just like, hey, this one's really great because we have 50 that are great, you know.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason that I am able to recommend Wellington is because I've actually written two books about it. So it's kind of my place. So that's how I was able to recommend that to you. I'm looking at haunted North Carolina now. Let's see. Commercial sites, public sites. Battleship North Carolina, Fort Fisher, Historic Stagville, or Mordecai Historic.
Charlotte?
Let's see. Haunted. Oh, early Ernie is calling in. Haunted Charlotte. You know, here's the thing is that what I've discovered is it's so cool. We have a world of information at our fingertips on the Google. Oops, not on CBS.
Did you really just say on the Google?
Only as a joke.
Okay, I was going to say, how old are you?
Can you imagine? If Founders Hall and Spirit Square.
That one I do recall, yeah.
And then the Antique Kingdom on Central Avenue.
The Antique Kingdom.
Ernie! Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
oh, there he is.
Wow, it's been going? A deal just getting you on the line.
Yeah, I heard you struggling trying to get onto the Skype. You know, it's funny, Ben was over doing his show on my computer, and so I think he was signed in, so I'm not sure if that had a, was part of the problem.
Did you notice now, Rick, that you made fun of me for saying the Google, but Ernie just said the Skype?
Well,
the Skype. Did I say the Skype?
You did say the Skype. Totally did.
Wow. We can talk about it on the Facebook, Ernie, because apparently we both are, you know, along those lines.
Great.
So, Chad says that since he is leaving you for several weeks to head up here to Washington, that you have to tell me what you've got coming up with Haunted Orange County.
Yeah, we have a few things coming up. First of all, you know, we're really excited that we were able to add a few quality members to our team. Of course, we have Chad. We have psychic medium AJ Barrera, who was on a program called From Beyond with Romero, who we've had on, you know, together before.
Did we just lose Ernie?
Can you hear me? Oh,
there's Ernie.
Hello, hello?
Hello. Yeah, Ernie, can I hear you.
We actually lost Karen.
Oh, so we lost Karen.
Thank you, Skype. Okay, all right. It's a good night.
Okay, please proceed.
No problem. So we have AJ Barrera. We also have, you know, Scott. Of course, we love Scott. And I actually met Scott earlier this year, and we really hit it off, and we started doing things together. And even though he lives, you know, up in Fresno, we're down here in Southern California. He's out here a lot, and so he's going to be able to participate in a lot of our events. And, of course, Ben Hansen, who you've had on a couple of times, I think you actually did a magazine cover for him in February,
yes.
Right? Early in February.
Yes, it was.
So we're really excited to have all those guys on board. And we do have a few events I want to kind of pitch really quick. For those of you who are in the Southern California, Orange County area, this Saturday we have our Haunted History Ghost Walks, and basically what we started off with when we started Haunted Orange about 4 years ago. You can get more information on our website, hauntedoc.com. On Thursday the 27th, we have the last of our series of lectures on the origins of spirit communication. And next Thursday's talk is going to be Divinations and Spiritism, the Historic Origins of Communicating with From Beyond.
That's kind of cool. I wish I lived down there.
Oh, it's very cool. And the guy that we have presenting these lectures, his name is Charles Spratley, whom he's been on before as well.
Yeah.
I think you had him on FJ.
Yeah.
FJ.
Yes.
Yeah, he was fun. He was a good speaker.
Yeah, a good guy. And so he's been conducting those those lectures for us. And he also recently published a book called Piercing the Veil. It covers all mm-hmm. the hauntings in Old Town San Diego. So mm-hmm. he's our presenter for those. Saturday, July 13th at 7 p.m., we're going to be investigating the historic Graber Olive House in Ontario. And actually, that location was featured on My Ghost Story. And our friends over at Darklands Paranormal kind of run that location there. Actually, we got to investigate that with Chad, I think, back in March. So we had some good experiences there. So we're going to be taking a group there on the 13th. Let's see. We're going to be at StuCon on August the 3rd. It's going to be somewhere in the L.A. area, which I guess he's not ready to announce the exact location. He has a pretty good idea. Saturday, August 17th, we're releasing our downtown Santa Ana historic ghost walk, and Ben Hansen's going to be emceeing that for us, and we got a few surprises that we're going to release at that event. August 23rd to the 25th, we're going to be at the Las Vegas Paracon. That one's hosted by Brian Purdy and the folks over at Elite Paranormal Society, EVPS. And there are still a few tickets available. I know some of the investigations are sold out, but definitely it's going to be a great time. And this is
Ernie. When
year.
Do you sleep?
Yeah, you're the hardest working man in the paranormal at the moment.
At the machine.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. August. Let's see. I'll say that one. Oh, October 12th. This is the event that I met Chad at. We're going to be going back to Haunted Heritage, which is a cluster of Victorian homes that were moved to a museum-type setting. And it's open to the public as a museum, and you can go in during the day and check out the homes. But what we do is we come back at night with investigation teams, and we go into these homes and we investigate them.
So the haunting went with the buildings, didn't stay in the location where they originally were.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so we got to do that in February, and we're back. Chad's scheduled to be there, Ben Hansen, and we've got a couple of other names that we're not ready to announce yet, but that's going to be October 12th. And what else? All I can say is watch Ghost Adventures on, what's the date on this one? July 27th, there's a special episode that everybody should check out on July 27th. But, I'm really excited to have the new guys on the team. And Chad is an amazing guy. Like I said, we've only known each other, for a little while, but he's very passionate about the paranormal. And, we had dinner with some friends at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. And, I was kind of joking with him. I said, hey, we need to try to break away from the group and go downstairs and do some investigating. And sure enough, he had a spirit box with him. He was ready to go. I think he takes that everywhere he goes. And, just seeing him investigate and just his professionalism and his passion for it, it's awesome. So we're really happy to have him with us, and we're looking forward to a lot of great things the rest of the year here.
Well, you guys you guys have a great group.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us on again. And
anytime. I said you know us anytime.
Anytime.
Oh yeah, but definitely. I will. I will let you get back to the interview. But I just wanted to say hi and thank you for having us on. And I believe we're doing a little story in August. So
okay. Will you do me a favor?
Sure.
Will you pass on to FJ that I read his books after he was on the show?
Oh, great.
I really liked them.
Oh, awesome.
I will pass on. Yeah,
he's actually moving out of the area. He's going to be moving back to Washington, Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Yeah. He's from D.C., so he's going to be moving back up there to work on some projects, but he's going to be out here, and it's kind of a bummer because we were going to start a Pasadena tour because he's, of course, he's very versed in all the history and haunting Pasadena. So we had done preliminary walkthroughs for a tour in Pasadena, And, you know, now he's, you know, business is calling that way, so he's going to be spending a lot of time, you know, living in D.C., but he's going to be spending a lot of time here in Southern California. So, you know, bittersweet, but it's a good move for him, and he's excited about it. So, but I'll definitely tell book.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much, Ernie.
Yes, thank you. We'll see you guys. We'll see you, Chad.
Bye, Ernie.
All right, so, Chad, I have a question from you from chat.
Yeah.
It's from somebody with the lovely screen name that has been assigned by XatChat, and it is Lovey Foof. So there's Lovey an awesome Foof. Name for you. And Lovey Foof would like to know if you think you'll have your own TV show.
Lovey Foof. I hope to, at some point, have a series of something.
What would your series look like? If you could write, produce, star in the perfect vehicle for you, what would it be?
Gosh, you know, it would have to be like a show like Lost, or like a, you know, I gotta go to my favorites. It would have to be like something just special, something that I want to watch every week, you know?
Yeah, something, just put something out there for us nerds. We would really appreciate
that. Yeah, something in that world, because I'm a huge nerd, and I want to be a nerd about my own show.
There you go. So when you do that, you need to let us know, because I really need something to watch, like I say, because Dexter's almost over, and Breaking Bad is almost over.
Yes, that's a good one too.
And not a lot of reality TV that I like to watch, so
right.
I need something else, you know. Hey, you could be on The Bachelor. There you go.
Yeah, right. Goodness. My God.
No, thank you. So, do you have? We just have a couple of minutes left. Do you have like a website? I know you have an IMDb, but do you have a website or anything where people can go to learn more about you?
You know, I have my Twitter is usually where you can find me the most. I don't have a Facebook right now, and there is a website that one of my awesome fans, her name is Audrey, she started for me, and it's the Chad Lindbergh fan site. You can just type that in. She did an awesome website, so she's kind of taking care of it.
Are you on Twitter? Are you the at Chad Lindbergh?
I am.
So, okay, because I also see there's Chad Lindbergh fans.
Yeah,
Brazil Hearts, yeah. Chad Lindbergh.
Yeah, just at Chad Lindbergh.
Okay, so there you go. That's where people can find you. Would you have any shows that are coming up, or movies or parts that people can look forward to?
Yeah, the movie I'm going to go film in August. It's called Becker's Farm, and it's an adaptation from a book. It's a period movie, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Very cool. Who else is in it with you?
Jeffrey Pierce and Rachel Blanchard, and to be directed by Mark Romig.
Very good. Yeah. Sounds cool. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming on. And as if you get up to Wellington, you can get in touch with me through Cheryl and let me know what you think.
Awesome. I will do that. Thank you so much. And thank you all for having me on. And
absolutely.
Thanks, Chad.
I love it. So thank you.
Have a great trip up to Washington. Be safe.
I will. Thank you very much.
And enjoy the Shanghai tunnels. I'm going to.
I'm going to tweet a lot of pictures.
Okay, very good. Maybe I'll have to follow you on Twitter then.
Yes, I'm
on the
following
Twitter.
You guys now.
All right. That's Chad Lindbergh, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
All right. Well, we have just had a show chock full of goodness this evening, haven't we, Rick?
It was a fun show, you know. I mean, but you know, I like talking to Scott. I like the way Scott thinks, and it, you know, I like the way that he investigates. He's an old schooler, you know. I always like talking to, you know, fellow old schoolers. And Chad, you know, we get the new school mentality there, and you know, I think it's they complement each other very nicely.
I think so too. So, Cheryl,
hey,
next week.
Next week,
listeners won.
They have won a night filled with yours truly. No. We will all be back on
that's special.
27th. Oh. With our guest, Karen Vance Hammond. And Karen is the author of some paranormal novels. Excuse me, trying to spit that out. She is probably most known for her work called Shoe Marks. And we are actually going to be talking to her about a newer story that that just came out, and that is called Secrets in the Shallows. And she actually co-wrote that with Kimberly Brulette. And we know Kimberly. She's been on the show before with her husband, and they are paranormal investigators.
Yeah, nice people.
And so I think Kimberly might actually join us as well to talk about the story and their inspiration. And they're both very much into the paranormal. And actually, Shoemarks, Karen's other book, is actually based, or not based on, but inspired by a true story. So it's a really interesting story. So I don't know if we're going to get to that one, but hopefully we can get to both and talk to them about the different works that they're doing.
And then we're off on July 4th.
We are. We are off on July 4th.
Because we are going to be watching fireworks, folks.
Yes.
And grilling.
That's right.
And beer grilling. Drinking.
we're a dry household. Nobody drinks in my house.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Sure, Karen.
Says the woman in the state that has legal pot. And then, so do we know what other guests are coming up in July?
We do. We know a few of them, actually. And if I can open up my list, I can tell you.
Raymond Moody coming anytime soon?
I need to get back with him. I think
he's
still traveling.
Listen to me, I'm such a Raymond Moody nag now.
I know. Pretty soon, I hope. I think maybe at the end, maybe in fall.
Okay, that'd be good.
I'm going to check back. Mm-hmm. On July 11th, we're going to be welcoming back Chelsea Damali. She joined us not too long ago, but I believe she's going to talk to us about psychically profiling serial killers.
Oh, you know, isn't she the one that was doing the thing about Roberto, the guy that just died, the murderer, the serial killer that just died?
Probably. I missed that one, but that sounds about what...
I can't think of his name right now. Anyway. All right. Moving on.
Yes. So that'll be July 11th. July 18th is open right now, but July 25th, we're going to be talking to an author. Her name is Sylvia Schultz, and she authored Fractured Spirit. God, I can't talk this week, you guys. I apologize. Fractured Spirits, Hauntings at the Peoria State Hospital. And if my memory serves me, that's based on true events, I believe.
Night Stalker.
Chad just yelled in the background. Night Stalker.
Thank you, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
He's on that time delay.
That Night Stalker guy, yeah.
That's him. Thank you, everyone.
He's not on the time delay?
Yeah.
He is on the time delay on the Twitter and stuff. Yeah.
On the Twitter. Yes. And also, before I forget, I have to give a big thank you to all of our guests, Scott, Chad, and Ernie.
For putting up with us.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, my gosh. No, just kidding. It was really nice of them to talk with us tonight. I hope we can talk with them again. I really enjoyed that. And
yes, they were a lot of fun.
Definitely. Don't tell Scott, though.
Why, you afraid he'll get a big head or something?
Wait, isn't he still listening?
I'm pretty sure he's in chat as Scotty Foof.
I think he's Scotty Foof now, yes. Which I think is the perfect name for him. Because he's sitting there naked. He ate dinner, so he's probably foofing a little. Well, you see where I'm going.
Wow, yeah, I think I just got sick a little bit right there.
Sorry.
Vomited in my mouth.
A little bit. Yeah. So we have some great guests lined up, as always. We always have great guests. Did you notice that?
Always.
Or is it just me noticing?
It's like we have a producer who gives a rip.
Yeah.
All right, I wasn't like fishing for compliments, but okay.
Well, you know, like when we were doing it as a podcast, and I was in charge of the podcast.
Yeah.
And so we'd only record a podcast like once a month or less. Because it was just so hard to get guests. And Chad kept saying, if you go on weekly, we'll get guests. There will always be guests.
And you never thought we'd get guests, Karen.
We can't go on a weekly live radio show. Like, we're never going to get the guests.
How are we going to get the guests?
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why I was fired
as the producer, and Cheryl is
not. No, you were not fired, but you...
Because she gets the guests, where I just let things lie fallow.
You know, and it's great too, because we've had a really interesting mixed bag of guests over the years. You know, cryptozoologists, ufologists, time travelers. Adam Neal 2 weeks
psychics,
ago. I really enjoyed talking to him.
I actually would love to get. I mean, I love obviously the paranormal investigation is my favorite, but I also love UFO phenomenon. Love to get some people on some more people on to talk about that.
But. Stan will come on anytime, you know. You just have to ask him, and he's happy to come on, Stan Friedman.
Oh, my God, please do. Please call him.
He's pretty cool. Awesome.
Hey, I could call him every week.
You know who else we need to get back on is Michaela.
Yes. Oh, we just talked about that the other day. Okay, I need to email her back. She just said she'll come on anytime. So.
Oh, well, there you go. People absolutely loved her, and we just had so much to cover, and we hardly got there at all. Probably because we spent a lot of time talking about me. I don't know how that always happens. I never bring the conversation back
around. Me.
That's right.
It's all about Karen.
It is all about me. It's good to know. I'm glad that you guys all agree that that's the case.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
we don't all agree, but no, I'm just kidding.
Then you got Cheryl who nags all the time.
I know. We're like a big dysfunctional family. I'm the narcissist and the good cop. Rick is like the angry guy who doesn't get enough attention or something.
I'm like Dennis Franz.
I really, really. Do you guys think I nag? No, I'm not going to be thinking about this all night. Oh my God, I nag too much.
Do you nag? No.
All I did was ask you to promote the contest.
Elaine just said in chat that I am the center of the universe. Thank you, Elaine. I'm glad that you acknowledge that.
All right.
I'm not going to do this show.
Karen's like the center of the universe, and Rick and I are like orbiting suns. Just going around.
And Chad. Don't forget around. Chad.
And Chad, who came up with a Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Well, that's because even though I am the center of the universe, I'm also like, you know, a middle-aged woman whose brain is Swiss cheese, mainly because I worry about my child driving now that he has his license, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So I need somebody like Chad to keep me focused.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We feel you, dog.
All right, so is there a show after us tonight?
I imagine that there would be. I haven't heard otherwise. Let me look at my Skype real quick.
I'm not in the chat room right now.
Let me see if... Oops. I can't spell DJ Chris, Onyx. Apparently. Let me see if Chris is online. He's not online, but...
So
I imagine there's a show.
Yes,
I haven't heard.
Yes, Elaine, I am. She wants to know if I'm a little HPD. What's HPD? Histrionic personality disorder. Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Just tonight.
aren't we all?
I was going borderline personality disorder.
I'm thinking narcissistic personality disorder.
I get a little histrionics as well.
I have had my camera on, not so you guys could see me, but so that I could gaze at myself while I did the radio show.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh my God, I thought you were serious.
My guess. I'm totally serious. Cheryl.
And Cheryl is the gullible.
No, I am actually, but I thought you were totally serious, Karen.
Oh, well, we have like almost no time left.
We're almost out of time.
I think that Radionix is coming up after us, so stick around, listen to some music. In the meantime, we will be back next week, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Other times in the flyover states, it's Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network. You guys have a great week. Good night.
Night-night.
Like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio? Email editor at paranormalunderground.net. Until next time, keep exploring the unexplained at paranormalunderground.net. Please join us next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Hazy Radio Network.